Even with age, life never seems to get any easier. Well, yes, there are benefits to growing older, but for the most part, the issues of life become more complicated with time. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. In this passage, we're reminded that even the Apostle Paul felt the crescendo of pressure. And maybe you're between that rock and a hard place right now, trying to make a tough decision. Well, Chuck Swindoll begins with helpful review as he continues the message called Laughing Through Life's Dilemmas.
I'm sure the apostle thought how great it would be free to be unshackled and unfettered, to be free of this soldier, to be free of life's limitations, to be free of the sadnesses and disappointments. To depart and be with Christ, I'm free of that. But there are also liabilities. Maybe you never thought of liabilities connected with going and being with Christ. Well, first, he would be absent from those who need him. See the way he put it? To remain on in the flesh is more necessary for you. If I go, I don't do what is most necessary for you. Now, he may come back to the Philippians, or he may die in the next few moments, for all they know. And so whatever may be God's choice for him, he addresses words of challenge to the readers, and I think not just to the Philippians, but to us as well. Verses 27 to 30 are addressed to people just like you and me, though they were originally written to Christians in the first century. Don't miss his comment in verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Whether I come or remain absent from you, you conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel. Work on your testimony. Work on your character, whether you ever see me again or not, because death is coming to all of us. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and God gives me years on earth, or whether I'm taken and remain absent, I hear one thing: that you're standing firm in the Spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, you know what? Suddenly the Philippians had a dilemma, because they knew to do this meant suffering. To do the other meant they could get along fairly simple in life. Just don't get connected too publicly with the Christian circles, with the Christian testimony. In fact, let me make another set of columns. Let's put positive on the left side, and let's put negative on the right side. Let's make another list. Conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. What does such a walk include? Well, positively this. Number one, standing firm in one spirit with one mind. That means living harmoniously together with other believers. You do that? Or do you make waves? Do you move toward harmony, or do you move toward disturbance of harmony? Do you keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, or do you disturb the unity of the Spirit? He says, if you want to have a walk that's worthy of the gospel, stand firm in one spirit, walking in harmony with other believers. Second, that brings up the second, striving together for the gospel. It's an athletic term, by the way. It means fighting the good fight of faith. If you want to know how to really walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, then get engaged in the battle. Negatively, do not be alarmed by your opponents. Isn't that good counsel? Verse 28, in no way alarmed by your opponents. I love the word alarmed. I did a little work on it. It's the ancient picture of a horse in battle array shying away from the battle. We refer to that as the horse being spooked. That's the term used here. It's the word for an uncontrollable stampede of startled horses. That describes many a flock of Christians. Scared to death that archaeology is going to discover something that's going to destroy the faith, or disturbed that somebody's going to knock on our door and point out something that we're missing in our biblical commitment. No, there's no reason to be afraid. All the more reason, I might add, for apologetics. All the more reason for training the mind to stand in defense of the gospel. You who are in that field, help us strive together for the faith and keep us from being alarmed by our opponents. Now, let me give you three or four things that will help you stand tall in the battle. And all four of them come right from this passage. Here are some things that you need to remember when the battle is on. Number one, we are not alone. Verse 27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's something wonderful about being in the foxhole with somebody else. There's something terrifying about being in there all alone. When you remember you are not alone, and by the way, faithful church attendance does remind you of that. It's the only place on earth where Christians are in the majority. We need to remember that by mutual fellowship together, we stir up one another to good works. We remind one another in the unified singing of the great hymns of the faith and of the agreement to the preaching of the gospel that we are not alone. Life gets awfully lonely and frightening when we're in the midst of it. Second, verse 28, remember this, we're promised the victory. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them. That is, the message you have is destruction for them and it's deliverance for you, and that too comes from God. There's no one that can knock on your door and present to you material from their cult that in any way should cause disturbance to your faith. And the better equipped we are with the truth, the better equipped we are to answer the door. We're promised the victory. I love the verse that says, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Corinthians. Romans says, we are more than conquerors. We're promised the victory. We're not alone. Third, this one's going to hurt because it presents the dilemma. We are called to suffer. Verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, that's the fun part, but also to suffer for Him. That's the tough part. But we're granted both. It is easy to forget that in God's agenda for His people, there are both sides. He takes delight when we believe in Him, and He also calls us to suffer for Him. In our greedy, take-it-easy, comfortable world, it is easy to forget that suffering might mean you are right in the core of God's will. And things might get worse. I am not a prophet. I am not the son of a prophet. I don't know of any prophets in my genealogy, but I do know some people who are good students of the scene on the horizon. And from what I hear and from what I read from those respected men and women, we are in for hard times. Are you ready to suffer for His sake? We're called to suffer. That'll help you when the battle is on. And fourth, we are in good company. Aren't those helpful things? We're not alone. We're promised the victory. We are called to suffer. And we are in good company. Paul says, you experience the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. See the word conflict? It's the Greek agon. We get the word agony from it. Agony. Experiencing the same agony you saw in me, well, welcome to the club. What you saw in me is happening in you. We are in good company. And by the way, isn't it a great reminder when in the company of fellow suffering saints, we remember that Christ is triumphing, that we are more than conquerors? In the days of Julian the Apostate, A scoffer inquired, "When what is your carpenter doing now?" The answer of the unperturbed Christian was, "Making a coffin for your emperor." There is a wonderful spirit of invincibility that accompanies the bold, unhesitating Christian in battle. For our 35th anniversary, Cynthia and I were given a wonderful trip, which included some time in Rome. If you have never been there, then trust me on this. It's one of those places you'll not want to miss in your plans for future travel. If you have been, you went to where we were, the Colosseum. There is something about being in the ruins of a place of martyrdom that does something to you. There's something about it. I found myself wanting to get away from the crowd of tourists who were all about, and to walk all alone into one little cubicle, one little section, where Cynthia and I walked arm in arm together. And I wanted to be quiet, and I wanted to hear in my mind the roar of the crowd under the maddening rule of Nero, when Christians were the torches that lit the stadium, when Christians were in the jaws of lions, when Christians were wrapped in the skin of animals and tormented by beasts and finally torn apart. There, at that place, is that reminder. Paul wrote Philippians from Rome. One wonders if he didn't hear the roar of the crowd at night. He didn't hear the scream of the bloodthirsty for more blood. Our home is located not that far from the stadium where the high school plays its games. And every once in a while on a Friday evening, we'll drive in after having gone out for a bite to eat together, and we'll open the door. It'll be about 9 o'clock, and we can look back on the horizon and see the glow of the stadium, and we'll hear the roar of the crowd. I thought last Friday evening, having spent several hours in this passage, I thought about what it might have been like when Paul heard the roar at that stadium, perhaps not far from his house arrest. For us, it was a fun moment to hear the bands play and to hear the crowd cheering and imagining a game going on. But who's to say but what there will not be a return of such agon and martyrdom? Does Christ mean enough to you to die for the cause? It's a very serious question. Not simply to speak and not simply to argue, but to go to the stake, to spend your last moments giving him praise. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Searching question. The Philippians had a practical dilemma. Knowing suffering would be there, would they run to it or would they run from it? There are benefits to both, and there are liabilities. Let me turn the issue to today and address a very practical response on our part. Let me mention a couple of thoughts, may I? The first is this: making right decisions amidst dilemmas forces us to rethink our priorities. Making the right decisions amidst dilemmas forces us to address our priorities. Are you working for a title? Are you working for a testimony? Is it true for you to live is Christ? No questions asked. How about to die? The first issue brings the second to the surface. Choosing right priorities forces us to reconsider the importance of Christ in our lives. Choosing right priorities forces us to reconsider the importance of Christ in our lives. Paul could write that. We applaud it. We have no doubt that he meant it. Can anybody else write that? Can anybody else mean it like that? There are many voices these days, all of them loud, some of them persuasive, many of them convincing. You hear them in the advertising slogans, you see them in the media, you read them in the books and the magazines. You are told to look out for number one, to choose what's best for you, what will result in the best interest, what will bring you the best financial security. No questions asked. You go for that if you're smart. In the midst of my reading this past week, I discovered that Malcolm Muggeridge had died. Interesting man, Muggeridge. I've read him for years, and I'm sure many of you have. What a man. One of the interviews is entitled God's Gargoyle. He's got a face like 12 miles of bad road. Wonderful man. Foreign correspondent, newspaper editor, editor of Punch magazine, a well-known television personality in Great Britain. One of the few television critics who never owned a television. Marvelous writer. He refers to himself at times as a displaced person. When he did come to know Jesus Christ, he felt displaced. He had felt it since a child, but when he gave his heart to Christ, it did something to his whole orientation to earth. And his writings bit into our times and stung like an adder. In one of his works entitled Jesus Rediscovered, he says this: I may, I suppose, regard myself or pass for being a relatively successful man. People occasionally stare at me in the streets. That is fame. I can fairly easily earn enough to qualify for admission to the higher slopes of the Internal Revenue. That is success. Furnished with money and a little fame, even the elderly, if they care to, may partake of trendy diversions. That's pleasure. It might happen once in a while that something I said or wrote was sufficiently heated for me to persuade myself that it represented a serious impact on our times. That's fulfillment. Yet I say to you, and I beg you to believe me, multiply these tiny triumphs by a million, add them all together, and they are nothing, less than nothing, a positive impediment measured against one draft of that living water Christ offers the spiritually thirsty. Wow! For me to live is Christ. One drink from that chalice is better than the fame and the success and the pleasure and the fulfillment throughout time. Those are the words of a man who not only has lived, but has died. And has come to realize firsthand now, in the presence of his Lord, the truth of what he wrote. Will you? I'd like you just to close your eyes and block out all visual interruptions. I'd like you to face the hard question about Christ. Is he a nice, neat, conscience salver, relieving a little bit of stress from time to time, keeping guilt away on Sunday morning, powerful leader of a religion that you've decided you're going to be a part of because that seems to be where the action is? Or is he your God? And I mean Kurios. I mean Lord. Your reason for doing whatever you do. It may mean success. It may mean dreadful loss. Could mean death. Does he mean that much to you? Given a choice, I have discovered that intelligent people appreciate freedom to decide. Without being pressed emotionally or had games played with them, so we play no games. I offer you no great hope of relief from pain and conflict if you give your life to Christ. You may discover difficulties like you never knew before, but I can promise you this, a guaranteed home in heaven, forgiveness of sins, and peace with God. Yours to be claimed with your faith in Christ. We've clearly marked the prayer room in this worship center. We've done that so there might be a quiet place for people to come and congregate with carefully chosen counselors who can talk with you and help you and pray with you. You'll be treated with dignity and respect. You may leave any moment you wish. You'll be given information. You'll be encouraged. They will be there to help you make this decision for Christ if you need help. Right where you're sitting, can you say, "For me to live is Christ, and even if I die, I gain"? Lord, it would be wonderful if all of us could say what Will Thompson wrote, that Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. But the truth of the matter is, Lord, we cannot all say that. So deliver us from a phony hypocrisy that would just quickly forget a message like this and go on our way. And I pray that you will dog our steps. You will stay with us and bring us convincing evidence that we can no longer live for ourselves. For what is one profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So as you minister to us, bring us to a surrender of wills. Encourage those who labor to assist us in the defense of the faith. Strengthen the arms of those leaders who set the model as Paul did in his day. And may Christ be exalted whether by life or by death. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen.
Powerful lessons coming from Paul's letter to the Philippians. He said emphatically, given the choices, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." You're listening to Insight for Living. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll or this ministry, visit us at insightworld.org. In addition to this 14-part sermon series, Chuck has also written a book about Philippians, and you can find all the details for purchasing a copy of Laugh Again when you go to insight.org/store. Chuck, as we've come to this final program in the week, it's important to remind our listening family about an upcoming deadline.
That's right, Dave. If you value our daily visits together, today would be an outstanding day for you to step forward with a well-timed, generous donation. Other than the month of December, there is no month in the year when a contribution helps Insight for Living Ministries more than right now. On June the 30th, our accounting staff will officially close the books on 40 years of service to our listening family. Time is short, and we're doing everything possible to end this year in a strong position. Over the last 12 months, our staff has done a magnificent job at holding down our internal expenses. Many on our leadership team are wearing several different hats, which has kept our costs down. But it won't surprise you to hear that our external expenses, things like postage and printing and supplies and the cost of radio time, continue to escalate. Even so, we're reaching more people now than ever before. We started back in 1979 with radio, and it's still our most effective means for touching the lives of others. But our podcast and digital audience is growing every day. In fact, we've reached the highest number of web visits in our history, and a growing audience watching the live stream every Sunday morning. All of this to say, we're doing far more with much less. And to keep doing so, we're depending on friends like you to come alongside Insight for Living Ministries. Please, take this personally. Pause for a few minutes and follow the simple instructions Dave will share in a few moments. You can call us or go online or write us a letter. And you can even give a donation by using our convenient mobile app. Thanks for doing your part in helping us finish four decades of ministry in a strong financial position so that we can pursue all 195 countries of the world with the truth of the Scriptures. We deeply appreciate your gift today.
Choose from a variety of methods for responding to Chuck Swindoll. If you're listening in the United States and prefer to pick up the phone to give us a call, our number is 1-800-772-8888. Again, 1-800-772-8888. Or connect with us by text. If you live in the United States, send a text to 555-888. Then type in the one word INSIGHT and follow the simple instructions for giving a donation. You can also easily give online at insight.org. And did you know that more and more people are listening to Chuck's teaching by using our convenient mobile app? If you're among them, you'll notice we provided a simple method for giving a donation inside the app. Chuck Swindoll continues his study in Philippians called Laugh Again, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Laughing Through Life's Dilemmas, was copyrighted in 1990, 1992, 1999, 2008, and 2019. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.